Hey there, podcast listener. Steven here from the podcast you're currently listening to. You ever heard a podcast and think, I can do that? Well, maybe you can, or maybe you can't. Or maybe I can help you get started with it. Hosting is the most expensive cost you'll have in a podcast, and that's why Anchor by Spotify is the easiest way to make a podcast. Really, they have everything you need all in one place. Anchor has tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. With Anchor's hosting, you can distribute your podcast to other listening platforms like Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and a whole lot more. And if you think you can do a better job than I, record a podcast right now. There's very low risk involved. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. And best of all, Anchor is free. Download the Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started today.
Of the battlecruiser Enterprise.
This is Christopher Pike of the USS Enterprise.
This is Captain James Kirk of the USS Enterprise.
This is Jean-Luc Picard, Captain of the Enterprise.
This is Captain Sisko of the USS Defiant.
Welcome, everybody, to The Away Team, a series that recaps each episode of Star Trek in canonical order with a bit of a twist. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
For some reason, I typed in code orange.
Because that's what Yar was in this one.
All sorts of orange.
Dude, she wanted that super dick. It fucking... She was looking.
And Troy
she
caught out on it.
She caught jungle fever. That's what happened.
Oh yeah.
She got jungle fever. Oh my god! Fucking Memory Alpha has the Kelvin Code of Honor. I swear, Memory Alpha is ridiculous. Oh, it's like two sentences. The Kelvins encountered by the U.S. Senate by claim to the by a code of honor, according to Rohan, it is harsh and demanding, calling. Much and from both the Kelvins and those they had conquered. That's all it says. Oh, there was an original episode with these people in it. By any other name.
Oh, yeah.
So I guess that's who they're supposed to be. Although they're not black in the 60s. Surprise, surprise. Okay, well, I'm ready to go.
You ready to go with this shit?
Yeah.
Ready to go with this shit? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You ready?
Mm-hmm.
You ready? You ready?
Yes, motherfucker! Damn!
Welcome, everybody, to the Away Team podcast here on the Lazy Geeks Network with the illustrious and surprisingly not critically acclaimed episode, Code of Honor. I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
So
this is the greatest Star Trek episode ever written.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, right. who wrote it? I want to know who wrote this episode.
Catherine Powers and Michael Barron. It took two to write this garbage.
Two assholes. Whatever.
All right. So before we get into this, if you haven't seen this one, you need to see it, and it perfectly fit given the topic of this podcast, the Riker spinoff series. There's a fan-made video. I'm going to put this in the show notes, but it's a fan-made video of Riker getting his own show, opening credits and everything, and so well done. It's so well.
Yeah, it's funny. It's basically, it only follows Riker. And there's a tiny, very short story that's really funny in it.
And it's all such played with looks. It's all played
yeah.
with looks.
And it's just so sitcom-y.
Yeah.
Like, it's not trying to be epic at all, like Star Trek usually tries to be. It's just so like a do-do-do-do-do, like little beat, and it's beautiful.
And when you see the little story and you see what the little thing they added to it, you get it. Like, you look at Riker, you're like, yeah, I see that. I see that. And then that look he gives and how it changes between Troy and Picard. It's just, it's fucking hilarious. And his strut when the opening credits came on, and that strut he does when he came down from the turbo lift on the bridge. Yeah. It was just like hilarious. It's so fucking funny. Yeah, you got to see, if you haven't seen it yet, or if you just want to see it again, fuck it. We'll have it in the show notes on the site or on your podcast, player. But so fucking funny. All right. So it's funny. This episode we've talked about a lot in the last podcast, in podcast number two. And we both pushed it off so as long as we could to not watch the episode again. This is the fourth, third or fourth episode, depending if you count the pilot as two-parters. Episode Code of Honor in the first season of Star Trek. Yes, we're still there. The third of the 176 episodes. The basic premise of the episode is a mission of mercy is jeopardized when a planetary ruler decides he wants the an Enterprise officer as his wife. And because it is a Yar-centric episode,
it's a horrible episode.
We weren't that keen on watching it. So I don't know. You want to just jump right in?
Let's do it. Well, let's.
There's a few scene stuff.
There's a few things in the behind the scenes that kind of make me laugh. In this episode, the entire humanoid population of the planet is portrayed by African-American performers. In the teleplay, however, only Lutan's guards were specifically written as being African.
Oh, right.
The teleplay,
yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen. Like, are you fucking kidding me, teleplay? Where's the fucking bit that I was reading? The reception is the best part. So we'll go through that. Tracy Torme, who for some dumb reason I can't remember.
It's one of the producers or something.
Tracy Torme is a writer who worked executive story editor for Star Trek Next Generation. So she's like the boss. Was embarrassed by what... Oh, it's a dude. Was embarrassed by what he called a 1940s tribal Africa view of Africans in this episode. Jonathan Franks referred to this episode as a, quote, racist piece of shit, end quote, at a 2007 science fiction convention in Toronto, Canada. He told the audience, quote, the worst and most embarrassing and one that even Gene would have been embarrassed by was that horrible racist episode from the first season, Code of Honor. Oh my God in heaven, end quote. 2012 interview with Trek Movie, Brent Spiner, Data himself, says, quote, Code of Honor was just a racist episode. Maybe not intentionally, but it felt that way and looked that way. It was the third episode, so it was fortuitous that we did our worst that early on, and it never got quite that bad again. That's true. This is literally the worst episode. No episode after this one is as bad as Code of Honor.
Oh yeah,
that's a guarantee.
And we've seen a lot of the episodes, so you know.
Wheaton said, if the cast wasn't arbitrarily decided to be African American, the idea of the episode being racist or non-racist wouldn't have been an issue. So. Whatever he was trying to say.
Yeah.
Sometimes he tries a little too hard to be like epic when he speaks and just comes out weird.
There was this one, and it's funny too, because in this comment that I'm looking at, 2013 Toronto Comic Con, an evening with the cast of Star Trek Next Generation, Michael Dorn referred to the episode as the worst episode of Star Trek ever filmed, to agreement from the rest of the cast and crowd. Keep in mind, he's not in this episode.
Oh yeah, that's true. So he can safely say it was bad
because he wasn't in it.
See what happens when I don't show up?
Yeah, exactly.
Shit. These motherfuckers put on blackface, fuck around.
I know, right? Yeah, you had to have Dorn out of that one, otherwise someone would have got killed. That's all we're saying.
Here's a funny bit. In the Apocrypha. Basically the novel Dark Mirror. Which is a great Star Trek book if you guys haven't read it, establishes that in the Mirror Universe, when the ISS Enterprise-D arrived at Ligonia and the Ligonians tried to make the Enterprise-D crew follow their rituals, they simply sterilized the planet's southern continent, which forced the Ligonians into cooperating with the Empire's demands. That would have been a five-minute episode.
I know, which is funny because that's how it's flipped in the main episode, because that's how they Picard struggles with that is...
Yeah, because he's like, we are superior
in
technology.
And I think it would have been good as a one scene mention, but I think they kind of play that one a little too hard. It was a little too preachy at that point, but we'll get into that in a little bit.
And also, last but definitely not least, LV40270-103 is the Laserdisc catalog number. So if you want to look through your collection.
Because that's the only time you're actually doing this, unless you actually have it in a box set.
If you have this episode on Laserdisc, please throw it out. Like, destroy all records. No reason. Ridiculous.
Also, one little tidbit of information was that this is the only Star Trek episode directed by Russ Mayberry. But he left the production during filming and was replaced by the first assistant director. So...
Yeah, but that's not the only reason it sucked.
Well, yeah, but...
There was a couple of scenes in here that I dug, but the episode as a whole was so stupid. Yeah. So I don't know how we're going to do this time, because this is the first time I have notes. And we usually just work down Steve's note list.
Well, we can, you know, we'll do as I said we'll do, and then if we have comments that, you know, we both remember.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
All right. So the Enterprise travels to Ligon 2 because, of course, and this is such a trope with Star Trek, is they have a vaccine that they need. And anytime the Enterprise or the Federation needs something from something, it never goes well. It's just never.
Yeah, it's never on a planet with people that like the Federation. It's always people that want to play games or something like that.
And then again, you know, if they did, then it'd be a really short episode.
Yeah.
And then
it's on Beta Z. Oh, yeah. Here you go.
Oh, Vulcan, you know. Oh, here. Yeah, sure. Certainly.
Do.
Next week on Star Trek The Next Generation. But apparently the plague, the Achilles fever on Strayus 4 and the numbers get astronomical towards as the episode goes on, but
like in the millions.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, it's basically San Andreas for the Star Trek universe. So they, you know, they go to meet, and this is one thing that I didn't understand, is that they wanted to meet in the cargo bay. So, you know, Picard.
Yeah, there was a lot of things in this episode that didn't fit with how Next Generation operated.
Yeah, and you know, so Picard, Troy, and Riker go down to the cargo bay with Yar and greet the Ligonians. And what I thought was funny was the fact that, you know, like, his entourage beams up first, so the dude can go and roll out the red carpet. You know,
yeah. Who is this motherfucker? Straight G, dude. Like, his entourage beams up. Okay. One dude, and everyone's mean mugging as fuck, especially his fucking consigliere there, or whatever the fuck it is.
Consigliere.
Yeah, he fucking brings out the carpet, basically looks at everybody like, bitch, and then just rolls this fucking carpet out.
It couldn't have been done any better if it was Key and Peele. That would have just been.
It was great. Like, that was like one of the best parts of the fucking episode. And also, I just want to mention, when they were on their way up to go to the cargo bay, and you blink and you'll miss it, but Riker says the Ligonians are a closely humanoid civilization. I'm like, they look pretty fucking human to me, and that's vaguely racist.
I know.
A bunch of black people aren't humans.
Close similarity to human culture. It's like, gee, what a shock. You know, it's like pretty much everybody that you meet in Star Trek is close similarity to human culture. But yeah, it's like they're very similar to us. It's like, okay. That sounds a little odd.
And the
but keep in mind, this is before the when they appear. Then you see how the ethnicity of the entourage and the crew, you're suddenly you're like,
oh,
you're like,
you fucking asshole. And then the Ligonian transporters, I noticed, were just a hair faster than the Federation transporters. Like, they zip up.
Yeah, exactly. Because, you know, they don't have time to fuck around. You know,
That's right.
They need to get shit done is what they have to do. Go ahead.
No, just to sum up this whole scene, I put in the notes, coming to America, Star Trek edition. Because that's really what's happening.
It really is. What's hilarious to me is, you know, Picard comes over after Lutan beams up. You know, and he walks across his red carpet, you know, I'm surprised they didn't throw rose petals and shit as he was walking through. But as he comes
on an elephant.
I know. You hear somebody comes out from under his robe. The royal penis is clean.
Just let your soul glow.
But what's funny is that when Picard goes to greet him, and it's funny now because it's relevant now, but back then it was totally innocuous, but you have it now, and they do this hands up move.
Yeah, because Star Trek always tries to have other cultures have different greetings, which makes sense, right. You know, but their greeting is they put their hands up like they're saying, don't shoot. And I'm sitting there going,
oh, waiting to be frisked, you know? And yeah. I remember seeing that last night. I going, oh, my God.
This episode was vaguely racist in 1987 when it came out. Now it's really racist.
In 2015, it just got a whole lot better. Better or worse, however you want to look at it.
But this shit can't even air during the daytime.
What, you say it only air at night? So they have the the hands up thing where Picard and him are doing it, which obviously, you know, was predicted the future, because obviously, you know, hands up, that's a big thing. And then of course Lutan suddenly realizes Yar, and you know, it's like, you have a woman as a, you know, chief of security. And
a woman,
yeah, you know,
he couldn't say woman, he had to say woman.
Yeah, exactly. And so what's funny in this episode is that his secondary, Hagon, was handing over the vaccine to Picard, and as he's trying to hand it over to him, Yar suddenly acts like she's standing there just completely dead faced the entire time, because that's how Tasha Yar is as a character and human being. She steps out. Suddenly she's like, I need to take that. I can't allow that to get close up without inspecting. And the guy's like, you know, get out of my way, woman. And then, of course, you know, she, in her showing off her amazing skills, which are about as interesting as her acting, she flips the dude over and then takes the vaccine. The next shot, you know, Lutan is like completely impressed and gets an amazing erection just watching that little interaction.
He went to 6 o'clock to midnight real fucking fast.
Exactly. But what's hilarious, though, is that when she, in the next shot, when she opens the thing, she's like 2 feet away from Picard and Riker. So if it's like a bomb in there, that shit's going to go off and kill everybody there.
Worst security chief ever.
I know, right?
And then she closes it after her 2 second inspection, standing right next to them, and goes, "Do you wish to receive it, sir?"
Yeah, you know, it's like, ooh, great safety protocols there. You know,
it'd be funny if Picard looked at it like, "This bitch, what the fuck? Where's Worf?
I know. Why is he missing?" But of course, you know, after everything, you know, she threw him to the ground and stuff like that. You know, Troy tells Picard. Troy seemed a little solemn in this episode, didn't she?
She was straight serious in this episode.
Yeah, there was a few moments.
And it doesn't work right. Like, when she's really cold and calculated, she just looks fucking strange.
It was funny, too, because I was watching this episode on Netflix, and then when I turned it off, of course, it's the weekend, the BBC shows nothing but Star Trek. And it was the one with I can't remember that episode, but the one where Data corrupts the Borg. I mean, Lore corrupts the Borg.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it was that whole bit. So I was, like, seeing that and seeing Troy with the bigger hair and the Starfleet uniform and the kind of rash. I was like, yeah, see, that's the one, you know? It's like in that first one, she just seemed really just stoic in it. Yeah. But she tells, you know, Picard, don't apologize. you know, for Yar beating the shit out of, you know, what's his name?
Because it would be seen as a sign of weakness.
Yeah. And you know,
and Picard was like, I wasn't going to say fucking sorry.
I know. He looked at her like, fuck this bitch. Don't be telling me what to do.
He's in my fucking cargo bay.
Now he comes into my cargo bay and does that. I mean, let's be honest. You know, I'm glad Yar got to him before I did, because shit would have got real if I got to him. That's all.
See, what
had
happened was I was checking my Rolly real quick and I wasn't paying attention.
My Rolly. Oh man. So,
oh, by the way, Hagon, which is that this main dude's like
second
main,
his secondary.
Yeah, second. Steady mean mugging everybody in the fucking room. Like, he has only one face expression, and that's fuck you. Like, he literally was just fucking looking at everybody like they were a bitch.
You notice all of them had the scar like in the same spot, like around their eye. One was on the left and one was on the right, but they all had that same kind of scar on their eyes. I'm like, do these fools not know how to cut onions or something? Because it's like, hey, to work
all
on.
They're all hardened from battle.
Yeah, so they, and they all, you're not anything unless you get a scar around your eye.
Chick stick scars.
Right, chick stick scars. So that all happens before the opening credits. So that tells you where the episode's going right from there.
Honestly, but that the whole pot before the credits is the best part of the show. Yeah. It's just because it's so funny. Like, you're basically laughing the whole time.
Yeah, it sets up how the episode's going to go from here on out.
That's your climax of the episode before the credits.
Right. So when the act one actually starts, you have Lutan and Picard and the whole everybody in the observation lounge, just, you know, going through the formalities. Picard hands Lutan a 13th century statue of a horse from China's Song Dynasty. The way the episode was written, he should have just handed him Kobe's jersey, you know, for the way it was going. Because I'm like, wow.
Well, it's because they can't, and we'll talk about this a little later, but they keep referencing Earth cultures that remind them of these people, and right. None of them are in Africa. I'm like, can we quit dancing around the fucking bush, please?
It's like we don't want to make that obvious, so we're going to.
They remind, because he's Picard's like, your culture has a lot of similarities to a very revered culture from ancient Earth history, and I'm thinking they're going to talk about like an African culture, and he fucking brings out a Song Dynasty horse from China. Are you fucking kidding me?
That, and I think at some point he mentions like the Native Americans.
He made his Native Americans and the French.
French, yeah. And I was like, really? So we're basically saying that the African culture has done nothing.
Yeah, which it's like that's almost even more insulting now.
It's the reverse racism, you know, by not mentioning it, you're mentioning it.
You almost wait, like Data mentions Africa and everyone in the room just looks confused like, Afro what? Like, that's basically how they were playing it. Like, it's so sad.
You know that piece of land below Europe and Asia? You mean Antarctica?
It's so fucked up.
So Lutan makes this big old speech. Basically about, you know, respect and our two people becoming friends. Essentially, it was a speech that comes down to, you stroke my dick, I'll stroke yours. That's basically what it came down to. So, you know, of course, Picard's like, oh, excellent. They're all excellent, which was so funny because it was so phony diplomatic.
But it was weird, too, because when did I ever see them clapping?
I know, right?
In any of the episodes, like everyone in the and we're talking all the senior officers are clapping. Yeah. Like they're at a fucking concert or something. It made no sense to me whatsoever.
Yeah. So, you know, he tells Picard that on Legion, the women own the land and the wealth. And apart from that, they're subservient to men, you know, and which. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so they do what they're told, but they hold the power, basically.
Right. And
it's weird.
Yeah, it's a little ass backwards, but all right, whatever. But then, you know, they're going to have some – I think they were going to take him a tour of the ship, but then he said he wanted to see the holodeck because he heard about this thing. And then he wanted to see the training. That's right. He wanted to see – what was it, the training on how you train your soldiers for combat, and then requests Yar to show him. And there's this little moment where, because he was very impressed by her display, you know, in the cargo bay. And there's this look on her hand of like, yeah, I'll show him. You know, it's just like she
wanted that dick.
Yeah, she agreed too well. Like if Hagon wasn't there, shit would have got real. Like, yeah. You know,
I'll show you more than the holodeck.
Yeah. So they go down to the holodeck, and this part bugged me a little bit, because like she shows him the holodeck, and he wanted to see some of the combat. So she goes and, you know, does the Aikido, is the training. And if you know anything about martial arts, Aikido is probably the most non-aggressive type of training.
It's not something
ever.
You would show a dude like this.
Yeah.
It's just throwing people, really.
Yeah, Aikido's
awesome, but it's not very aggressive.
Yeah, and I get, yeah, I granted this is the 80s and nobody really has, it's like one of those things where it's like, oh, well, if we just use some type of martial arts, everybody would be like, ooh, cool, because people are stupid. And it was funny because like my brother was watching this with me and he was just making jokes with it as well. But we had just come off of seeing Daredevil. And, you know, the fight scene.
Where the fighting is too fucking good.
Yeah, where you're seeing Daredevil doing those roundhouse flips and kicks and shit like that. And you're watching that. And then you're watching this and you're just laughing. Because it's like, really? That's where you put your stunt budget into?
No, I even put in the notes. Yar tosses a dude twice and now she's the shit all of a sudden?
Yeah.
Like, literally did very little.
Well, what part that got me was when he said you created a person without a soul. It's like, okay, wait a minute. You're cool with the transporter bit, but replicating a person is like, what is this fire, you know, that you speak of?
Yeah, it was really weird how they played the Lagonians, because they were backwards in ways they shouldn't be, but advanced in ways they shouldn't be too.
Right.
There was no balance. It basically gave them technologies because it was convenient for the story.
Yeah. And then it was just like, let's go ahead and do that. And then, of course, the other guy is like, you know, well, you know, it's like nothing, you know, something with lights is, it could not, you know, do that. Basically saying a hologram cannot throw you around or whatever. It's not real training. So she's like, well, if you want to try it, then I love it because Lutan's like, let the bitch try.
He's like, then show me.
Yeah,
like, you know what, the coolest character in this whole episode is what's his name, Lutan.
Yeah,
Lutan. He's just so fucking over the top, like, I am the leader. Like, yeah. It's just so fucking good.
He's like, you know, let the bitch try, basically.
Yeah.
And it's not the most active martial arts, and the guy flips him around like a rag doll, and you know, he's impressed and she digs it. You know, she, again, if Hargon had not passed out, you know, there would have been some shit going on there.
If Hagon wasn't there, she would have got that hard on. You understand what I'm talking about?
She would have got that D in the Enterprise D. You know what I'm saying? Right.
He would have put his shuttle in her bay.
He would have sprayed her with a tractor beam. So after that little display that really turns him onto Yar, they go back to the holodeck to get ready to leave, and you know, Riker, or I don't think Riker's there, but Troy's there and Picard, and you know, as they're getting ready to go, Lutan grabs Yar and they beam out immediately.
Hey, but he's super smooth about it. Like he goes, let me extend a personal farewell to Yar, and he gets closer and he goes, and he says in your Starfleet customs, and then just grabs her and dips.
Yeah,
like he was like super fucking, it wasn't even dramatic, he was just out.
I expected to see his fingers like deuces as he blipped out. So Picard orders a red alert and, you know, tries to contact Lutan through the Ligon's orbital control station. But he doesn't respond. So Picard goes ahead and fires torpedoes, non-lethal, and which explode above the planet, which to me didn't really seem all that.
I guess just trying to make a display, like,
yeah,
look at
it's
us.
Like, yeah, I get that, but it's like, you know, why he could have did it lower, like above the Capitol.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, this is a little too far above the bow. I doubt they would have even seen it from the planet.
Like, shooting stars tonight? Or
exactly. You know, Picard should have gone totally ghetto. Be like, he'd be like, bitch, this is how you do me?
I gave you a fucking horse?
Yeah.
And you're going to take my chick?
I gave you my prize M&M LP, and this is what you do?
I got you that bootleg real quick.
but so he fires him, it blows up, and Troy advises the captain that she sent needs from Lutan.
Oh well, she sensed that all the men were attracted to Yar, and then she says, because Yar is a very attractive woman, and there's some debate on that.
Right.
And then she says, but from what's his name? I keep forgetting his name.
Lutan.
Lutan, there you go. From him, it was like more ambitious and like he really wanted her, basically.
Yeah.
What he was trying to say.
And it's like, yeah, she did. But instead of like going down there getting her back, you know, everybody says that, you know, the Ligonians value patience, and then perhaps they should wait to see if Lutan contacts them. So it basically turns into a waiting game, and you know, patience is always strong suit.
Which also turns into a commercial break.
Right, exactly. So later, you know, Crusher visits the captain in the ready room. And they talk about the vaccine because, you know, in some instance, why don't they replicate the vaccine? Now, this is where the 24th century technology fails, is that only the original will work. No matter how they try to replicate it, it always fucks up. And so now the main threat, they can't replicate the vaccine. So now,
well, I think later on, too, they fix that. We're like, if they got the vaccine, they could then replicate it. And then they just later on, the fucking Crusher was making vaccines for everything, just off her computer laptop. Just let me fix that real quick.
She pulls out her Dell and she's like, hold on.
The sad part of this is the previous episode, that fucking everybody got drunk episode, right. She created the fucking vaccine out of thin air.
Yeah.
For that.
Exactly. She figured out how to alter it. To work.
And everyone's got the flu on this other planet. They right. can't figure that out.
I know. Yeah, so now you have the time crunch. Now you have the drama, which, of course, you know.
People are dying. And
people are dying, and we need to help them. And you know, so Picard needs to get off his ass, basically. But she also, which seems kind of an odd time, like you're talking about millions of people dying, and then she's pitching for her son. To come onto the bridge.
Dude, Picard gave no kind of fucks. She goes, I wanted to talk about my son Wesley. And he goes, what? Oh, yeah. Yeah. He literally said that.
Yeah.
It was like, so what? Funny.
Yeah. Yeah. Whatever. Okay.
He just did not care.
I know.
And then, yeah, it was so funny because this is one of the rare episodes too. This episode doesn't really have a subplot. Like, usually you'll have the main story going on, and then there's a decently fleshed out story going on the side.
Right.
So it kind of jumps around. The only side plot in this episode was Wesley being able to come on the bridge, and there was only two scenes.
Yeah, right.
And it was literally just him being allowed to sit at calm. It was nothing else.
Yeah,
it was all about the Ligonians, because that's how hardcore this episode was.
Yeah, because in most of these episodes you have an A and B storyline, and A was this, and I don't know. Yeah, this was trying to be a little bit of a B storyline, but it pretty much seemed like, well, we kind of have a couple of holes here in the script. What can we fill it with? Oh, let's throw Wesley in there. So Picard goes ahead and brings Wesley onto the bridge and tells him to take the ops station, which seems a little like weird.
He was wandering around the set that day, and right. Well, I guess we can fucking throw him a bone.
I mean, and let's keep in mind that in his previous episode, he developed a tractor beam that deflected the ship
He was the king of that fucking episode.
Yeah, but at the same time, he's also the reason the episode got to where it did was because of Wesley and that repulsor beam.
He created a problem so he could solve it, that dick.
But see, here's the issue is that, oh, okay, so he did that, so we'll throw you at ops. And, you know, go ahead and sit there at the op station. It was kind of like, that's a big...
That just seems where Data sits.
Yeah,
for Christ's sake.
I know, it just seems a little bit of like, okay. And I mean, I was like, what's the whole ship deaf? Wesley sits at ops? It's like, what?
Picard got kind of stern. Is the whole crew
deaf?
I was like, oh shit.
It's like, wow, okay.
I think he was just trying to turn Troy on.
Yeah, he was probably.
Because this whole episode, Troy's up fucking Picard's ass, like right next to him.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The whole fucking time.
I think this was the episode that was trying to validate why she was there. But in many instances, it proved to kind of backfire.
Yeah, there's a part later on that's so hilarious and really the definition of why her character was useless most of the time. When we get to it, I'm going to love pointing it out.
Oh, man. So he gets on there and you know, he has him at op station and they begin the briefing on the Ligonians and Data tells Picard that they have a strict code of honor. And the honor is similar to the Native Americans, the counting coup.
Oh, that they use a counting coup, which is in... There was a little joke in there where he says counting coup, which is from an obscure Earth language called French.
Yeah.
And then Picard, who is about as English as Sherlock Holmes, but it's supposed to be from France.
Right.
He starts to argue that, and then Riker says, you know, I dropped this one, Data. It was kind of funny. It was one of those Star Trek cutesy jokes, you know.
But the funny thing was is that, again, they mentioned the Native Americans, they mentioned the Chinese already, and they avoid the obvious. Like, oh, we're not pointing from the African culture, we're pointing from all these other ones. It's like, no, you're not.
Which, honestly... It wouldn't have been – and this is how racism was in the 80s though, is if I don't point it out, it's not racist.
Right, right.
And nowadays it's everyone's pointing it out, so you can't be racist, period. Right. But it wouldn't have been racist to say they were similar to African nations.
Right.
I mean there's some great nations that came out of Africa, and I think it was even more racist to keep calling them Chinese and fucking Native American.
And so they basically say that his abduction of Yar was a sign of her heroism, you know, and basically that they had to ask for her back. Yeah, they had to ask for her back.
Basically, it was opposite day.
Yeah.
Like things that the Ligonians were doing that were bad were supposedly good. And then instead of going in with force, which would have been good, you have to go politely ask, right, which is bad.
and then after, what was it, like a day or something like that of nothing, Luton finally messes the ship and then Picard has to act like a bitch and ask for Yar back. So
and make like a grand scene about it.
Right. You know? So they invite him to come down, and of course, this is where, Troy steps in and tells Riker that he's not going to like what, you know, is going to happen here, but Picard has to lead the away team because it's a leader. He's not, you know, it's not any of the other bitches that are there. It's got to be Picard because, he's the one with the balls.
And so, Data agreed.
Yeah, Data agreed, so... You know, and Riker makes that little joke. If if anything happens, you want to put you on report.
Yeah, Riker's got fucking jokes.
Yeah, this motherfucker. Joke.
I put in the notes as a quote. If you get hurt, I'll put you on report, Captain. Just Riker's got jokes, all caps.
because it was
kind of funny though, because Riker at first he gave that typical Riker fuck this look, like I don't agree with it, where he sits up straight and he gets kind of wide eyed, and then now he's all relaxed and cool about it, like yeah, whatever, you know,
like if the captain dies on there, I get the ship.
I'm fucking Riker. I'll just fuck bitches while you're gone. So exactly. Sweat, you know,
it is what it is.
Yeah.
Head down to the planet. Troy and Picard beam down, and this is where we find out Lutan is actually, you know, is married, his first one that they called. So we get the wife, and you know, it's funny too because like Lutan is very like relaxed and all of this, and you know, Picard is kind of like, you know, he has to see Yar, and you know, and you know, there's the she'll be back with the ceremony that I planned for. He goes, I want to see her now. You know, you can see Picard is really kind of being like, bitch, I'm tired of being nice to you.
Yeah, like I don't have time for this.
I don't have time for your shit. You know,
he's being extremely diplomatic about it.
But there, it's short. But it's getting shorter.
I think in that one scene, because since this episode is so bad, I keep trying to find something that's good. In that one scene, the tension between the two was actually played out pretty well, because they're both smiling, right? But you can tell that they're like, fuck you, asshole. Like, yeah. they're just not liking each other at that moment.
Yeah, Picard is really, you see it, he's getting kind of short, and you know, he's just like,
he's about to whip his dick out and put it on the table. He's know, playing right? games.
You know, I know, and he's just like, you know, Picard ain't having it, stealing is cool, but you asking for her back is honorable. Like, it's like, it's kind of like the streets, you know. It's like, yeah, it's like that scene from Friday, you know, yo, it's my bike, you know, it's actually our bike, you know, my sister and I share it. The fool, it's my bike. Yeah,
that's my bike, Paul.
So
by the way, I think it's this scene, but there was just like the yeah, it was like the first scene they go down on their planet and they round the corner, it's just a random dude throwing axes, just tossing axes up, like, for no fucking reason. Like, what the hell?
So Picard actually makes a speech about Lutan and his honor and asks for Yar back. Well, Lutan refuses. He says he wants Yar to be his first one, which of course pisses off Picard, but really pisses off his current first one.
She got fucking hater mode sent. She stood up quick.
She went ghetto quick.
All of a sudden, she took her extensions out. No, I'm just kidding.
It turned into a Jerry Springer episode.
It was funny, though, because she was so cordial and polite. And then as soon as he says, you know, I want her to be my wife, or I want her to stay with me. And you see the wife kind of look over like, this motherfucker's funny. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I want her to be my first one. And she's like, this bitch is going to get cut. Like, no. And then she enacts this, a challenge to challenge that. And basically death by combat for her and Yar.
Right. I expected her to like cut like where Shatner always got cut across the top of his chest, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, Picard says no at first, but says if she doesn't fight, they don't get the vaccine. So, you know, they visit Troy in her room after the fact, and she admits that, you know, she because Troy kind of calls her out.
Troy was a straight bitch in it. She comes in and she's like nonchalantly walking through the room, and she what did she say? She said, It excited you when he chose you, didn't it? And she goes, well, yeah, who wouldn't be happy that somebody likes you that well? And she goes, well, you're kind of attracted to him too. And she goes, well, yeah. I mean, and then she goes, you're my friend. You tricked me. And what would be probably the best acting we're going to get out of Yar. And she goes, I only tricked you so you could realize it yourself, or something stupid. Troy was being way too fucking serious, and it was weirding me out.
Yeah, I know. Troy made her realize she was digging on that black cop.
And
That's what she was thinking of.
The weird thing is the fact that Yar was kind of digging on Lutan was one thing, but it was never really explained why that was relevant. Like, yeah. Who fucking cares? Yeah. You know, yeah, she fucking thinks he's high. Okay, whatever. You know, but they never really.
I mean, he was no made it a thing. You know, but.
You know. Well, it's obvious.
I guess every woman has a type. I guess
she was attracted to the power or whatever. I don't know.
Well, what's funny though is when they go into the room.
It's also one of the few episodes she didn't mention the rape gangs from her fucking her old home.
I think when you didn't see it when she jumped later on when she jumped on the wife, she's like, I've been through rape gangs, and you know, then they beamed her up.
No, she didn't even say that. She jumped on the wife and goes, rape gangs. Because she had to mention that in every fucking
episode. Well, one of the things that I was noticing when they walked into her room, you know, Yar was stretching, you know, and like, you know, like with her top
combat ready.
Yeah, I'm like, with her top notch, you know, martial arts skills. Ooh, yeah, she's gonna be able to take this woman down.
She can stretch and knows one throw in Aikido.
Exactly. But she's confident that she wins, and Troy agrees that she has to do this to get the you know, the odds are in her favor. But of course,
odds are
in your favor. Yeah, exactly. Suddenly turned into the Hunger Games. It was weird. Troy's hair got all weird and like white.
Picard started whistling.
But back on the Enterprise, of course, you know, they have to heighten the seriousness of the episode when they get a message from a starbase saying the plague has worsened and millions could die without the vaccine, as if like Picard really needed that shit. You know, it's like, really? You know, she pushes the sick people bit a little bit. So we go back, and then it cuts back down to the planet. And Picard obviously isn't happy with Yar fighting, you know, so he goes to Lutan for a reason. And finds out that Lutan needs his first wife's money and land so he can stay in power. But if she dies, he gets the money, so it's win-win for him. So...
But here, let me mention real quick about this scene. Picard walked in and all of a sudden was a man's man. Yeah. Like he came in and said shit like, as a ship captain, I don't know of many needs.
Right.
Like, if you catch my meaning. And I'm like, this is expert level diplomacy right here. Like, he needs information. So he's going to want, because it was two dudes talking when he walked in. So he walked in basically like, I came here to fuck shit up and fuck bitches. Like, that's basically like how right. he ate it. And then right when he gets his information, he just kind of straightens up. And he's like, oh, cool. And just leaves. I was like, this dude's a fucking boss right now. But yeah, that scene too, it kind of, I always, throughout the whole episode, I thought Lutan was just basically a dumb one-dimensional character. Mm-hmm. But that little plan, I'm like, oh, this dude's got some tricks up his sleeves. Like, he's trying to do something.
Exactly.
You know.
And but the little shot before that, when Yar basically, you know, when she goes to accept the challenge, Yar gets cocky, like, I can take her, blah blah blah. Troy wants her to take the challenge, but there was a little continuity issue, and it was funny because when I was writing my notes, I wasn't quite looking at the episode the entire time, but my brother actually brought it up, is that, you know, they always do different shots, you know, within the scene. When they had a full-on look of a full face shot on Troy, her hands were behind her back, as she was in most of the episode. But when they did a reverse shot of the same scene, her hands were at her side. Like, each time. So it's like every time they cut to her face, her hands were behind her back. And then when it was Picard's view, which had her hands were at her side.
I can't even watch the series now because that's so horrid.
But it's hilarious, too, because so many people did not give a fuck on this episode. It was just like, ah, fuck.
She probably didn't even know they were shooting a scene. Yeah, like, she's just standing there.
She thought they were rehearsing lines, so she was just like, whatever, I'll just stand here. But yeah, so then, yeah, the scene is you find out Lutan's grand plan, which basically means he wanted Yar because he thought she was hotter. So if she killed his wife, he keeps all the stuff and remains in power. Perfect divorce plan.
Right.
That's really what it comes down to. It's a perfect divorce plan. So this little scene just seemed a little like a filler to me, where Data goes and visits Geordi in his quarters, and you know, he's shaving and tries to tell Geordi a joke, he tries to tell him a joke, but Data doesn't understand the humor. And then it kind of leads into something that Data kind of does really just in the first season, where he tries to learn humor, you know, that leads to that episode later on where he meets with Joe Piscopo, the comedian, to try to learn how to tell jokes and stuff like that.
Yeah.
It just seemed a little bit of an odd.
Well, there were a few things that were weird in this scene. Like, you're talking about the one where
Geordi
was shaving. Yeah. So, yeah, I put in the notes, I'm like, why is he shaving with his visor off?
Yeah.
Because he's only shaving the bottom of his fucking neck.
Right, right.
So it made no sense. And then Geordi goes on about saying how he's shaving, and then Data comes in and goes, why aren't you – first of all, he says, why are you using that razor, my friend? Like, he was saying my friend, which was weird. He said it twice in that scene. And then he goes, why aren't you using the razor that I got for you? It's, like, super efficient. And he goes, it's too efficient. And it's just a lead in to say, oh, the human condition or whatever. Right. But the funniest thing is he's telling this joke and Geordi tries to walk away, but then it looks like Data's about to choke him. If he doesn't stand there and listen to that fucking joke.
He's
going to
grab him, flip him up and hold him down to the chair until he hears
the joke. He wasn't just following him. He was like T-1000 following him. I was like, fuck.
Oh man, that was hilarious.
And then another thing too, which was really stupid, especially for a character Data to do it, is when the thing that made Geordi actually laugh at the end, when he said liggity bear or something
I don't know. Yeah.
And then Data said it was just a slip of the tongue. I'm like, you're an android dude, you don't have slips of the tongue.
Yeah.
Which I thought was just sloppy. It was just sloppy writing.
It was, because in the beginning they were trying to make him more human, but then later as the series went on, they kind of relished the fact that he wasn't human. He wanted to be human, but he had to,
they started to show off his abilities as an android,
right?
More, and I think that was just stupid because even if you want to say okay, he was just mimicking human behavior. He's really, that's the behavior he decided on a whim to do. Not even most humans don't even do that on a regular basis, so it's, I don't know, it was just weird. That whole scene there was strange.
It was
shit that didn't make sense.
It was really awkward, and I just love the whole Sonic razor.
It wasn't even touching him.
I know, it wasn't even touching him. Just a blue light. It's like he's holding a smartphone underneath his skin, But then, of course, so after that really weird, awkward scene, Picard orders Geordi and Data to beam down to the planet. And so he orders them to examine the weapons on display. So as they won't know which one will be used in the fight, so he wanted to basically them to, see what analyze the weapons. Picard does this little bit where he kind of bemoans the whole Prime Directive, where he's like, we could just come here and just take what we want and leave, but then it's the Prime Directive,
I think it was important to do that because it probably the entire audience is going, why are they doing all this silly dumb shit?
Right.
When they don't really have to, they could just beam her out of there. Well, actually, they really could just have beamed her out of there. I don't know why they didn't. Yeah. But
they wouldn't have gotten the vaccine.
Yeah, there's that and that. And then it's like, then they bring up, the Prime Directive, which is always the reason why things can't happen in a second.
Right,
exactly. You have to go through all this diplomacy bullshit. And,
And
keeps everyone on a moral high ground.
Yeah. And he was, then he cuts himself off and he says, the captain, captain shouldn't, you don't have to hear my ramble. I'd be like, fuck, I'm the captain. You guys are going to sit and hear me ramble. I would ramble for fucking days.
And then Troy was like, you're the captain. It's your prerogative to ramble. Yeah. Something. And he was like, I thought that line was kind of cool. He's like, not about things that everybody already knows.
Yeah.
I was like, what a boss, dude. I was like, this dude's a pimp. But Picard actually was like the dopest dude. He was Picard. I think because he always brings the A game.
Yeah.
To every episode. Cause you can tell some episodes where certain actors kind of check the fuck out, like any episode that Yar showed up to, and this is definitely an episode where Troy, I think, Troy was trying to be on that Picard level.
Yeah.
And, honey, sit down.
Yeah. That wasn't quite working. So, well, we just talked about that awkward scene between Geordi and Data. Now we come to even more awkward scene
is... Oh, real quick, I forgot to mention this.
Yeah.
Right, for some reason, at that moment, at the Prime Directive scene, right when Picard's walking away, and I put this in the notes, I thought about it so intensely that I verbalized it with no one in the room. I said, I wonder what Worf's doing right now. You know, like I just because I had realized I hadn't seen him the entire episode. And that kind of makes sense because the episode surrounds the chief of security. So there really is no reason for her.
But you think because of their whole code of honor and how they.
Exactly. You would think Worf would be there. Somewhere.
Yeah.
But I mean, I guess you could argue that he's a little too aggressive. Like he would probably fuck it up.
He'd fight the chick just because.
Right.
It's like I'll
kill her. Fuck it.
I'm off at 1500. I'll fucking fight you.
I'll fuck her, then I'll kill her.
Yeah, exactly.
Because at first I'm like, oh, they're gonna be like a Klingon with all this honor thing, but it really isn't because of that whole patience thing that they want to wait for everything. Klingons don't wait for shit.
That's true. They
like,
take what
they want it. They fucking take it.
Exactly.
You know. So it was weird. Like just because the episode was so dumb, I was going off on my own little fucking like I was building my own episodes in my head.
Oh man. So, Yarina visits Troy at Yar's Yarina request.
Is
the first wife. Yeah. Yar tries to talk her out of fighting, but Yarina won't budge. But what's funny is when she tells Picard, I tried to talk her out of it, I was like, really? Because it didn't really... She just basically saying, you will lose. And I was like, how... You're not really, like, talking her out of it. You're just basically using intimidation to say, like, no, you're going to lose. I'm going to win. And then, you know,
when you're on her planet, on her land.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like she's not intimidated by you, dumb bitch.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
And you're in a fucking yellow jumpsuit.
Right.
She came in styling. You know,
I know. I mean? Right. I know. And she's, you know, she won't budge. So, you know, Picard, Data and Geordi come and Troy come all back into her room after the first leaves. And, you know, they're like, you know, they analyze the weapons. And this is what got me. The weapons are made light and for women. Like, light for women.
Sexist.
I was like, wow, really?
Then also, too, they bring in... Okay, so they bring in weapons in these, like... They look like shoeboxes.
Right, right.
Which is sexist, too.
Yeah.
It says, you may choose your size. And it's this, like... glove with spikes on it,
right.
And I'm like, we were looking at a wall of swords and fucking axes.
I know.
Did they even analyze these ones? And then fucking Yar is so dumb. She looks, she goes, I know these. Like,
yeah.
Like she knows that world. I'm like, shut the fuck up. You're in Starfleet.
No,
Jesus Christ.
She's the
rape gangs.
She's the white chick, you know, that hangs out with the black crowd, so she feels like she's like part of them, like she understands them, you know. I mean, and let's be honest, because of how racist the episode was, why'd they just like open up and they have like Glocks and like AKs and shit in there? You have her hold up one and goes, today's a good day.
It's a switchblade. What the fuck?
Two switchblades. One's a switchblade. The other one's a switchblade comb.
Yeah. Just to keep that fade right while you're fucking shanking a bitch. One's a toothbrush that's been filed down.
Right. Oh, my favorite is when, you know, after Yar says about all of this stuff, and then you hear like this, you know, you're hearing something going on outside the window, and they look outside, and this little, like, pull up, like,
oh my god,
chin up set that like kind of went wrong, and you have Larina over there training or whatever, and she's like,
doing the same move over and over again. So this is, the stage is two levels, okay?
Right.
You have the main stage, and then you have a section in the middle that goes up once, and then just a bunch of randomly placed poles,
right? But there's
that's all it is.
Two poles that apparently will cause heavy damage because when the thing hits, the sparks shoot out or whatever. But you're doing her grunt the entire time doing the same move. I'm like, oh, I guess she must be training. And like looking at her move, I'm thinking like, oh, she's about as acrobatic as Yar is, so the playing field is pretty even.
And then fucking Picard's looking at her out the window, and after you see her, basically all she's doing is she grabs a pole by one hand, spins on it, and like swings with the other hand. She did that about 5 times.
Yeah.
And then you go back to Picard, and I swear I saw a hint of that's so fucking lame. Like just a hint of it. Right. So, he just was staring. He wasn't like, oh shit, you know. He was just like, this bitch thinks she's cool.
So there's that
starts yelling out the window, you don't know shit.
King Kong ain't got shit on us.
So my girl knows a keto, bitch. You best be ready.
My girl's ready to represent.
We from the streets.
In the background, you hear Jordy go, Grove Street.
Oh, shit.
My name is Toby.
You just made it so much more racist.
Well, why not? It's already in there. I mean,
white people and Hispanics aren't even allowed to talk about roots.
I know, right?
You know that. It was in the seminar. It was in your pen.
In the seminar. It was in my. It was in the brochure they gave you.
Proper American race relations. Step one: don't mention roots.
So that's the commercial break. So we come back, and Data beams back up to the Enterprise covertly. Because
on the sneaky sneak.
On the sneak, because Picard didn't want their communications being overheard. Because apparently these guys are that sufficient at, you know.
I don't understand. It's so weird because you can watch this whole episode front to back and you have no idea of their technological prowess. You just don't get it. And one minute they're using fucking swords that look like they're made out of tin.
Right.
The next second they're teleporting places. Like, what the fuck, man?
I know. You really have no idea. Even when they did that matte painting, you know, of where wherever the lieutenant's place is on that like cliff place, and it looks like something out of like, well, basically like, you know, Africa or like India or something like that, kind of like that dome kind of thing. You didn't really get any kind of like technological advancement that is like,
yet the scans couldn't fucking penetrate it.
Yeah.
At first.
Yeah.
On the ship, I'm like, what is going on?
What are you guys?
Secrets.
They're sitting there with, you know, DOS 3.0. You know, trying to get that shit going.
Windows me.
They're sitting there with like, okay, command prompt. trying to scan.
Damn it. I don't know anything because I'm a Chinese, Native American, French, African. This fucking show is so racist, it offends me. And I'm not even part of the culture that's being offended.
So apparently Picard has a master plan. Picard turns into Captain Kirk now. And comes up with this master plan, and Data gets sent up to tell Riker and Crusher, get them in on it. But back on the planet, Picard, Troy, Geordi, and Yar enter, with Yar wearing this ridiculous headband,
but still the Starfleet uniform. I thought that was funny.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, one thing I forgot to mention
the other chick looked like she was about to go to a spin cycle class.
I know, right? One thing I forgot to mention is they clap with sticks.
And yeah, they have these two like small sticks and they just tap them. Which, yeah. I mean, it was neither here nor there. But
it was annoying. It, like, that sound was annoying.
Click, 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 click.
And, but, so it was funny because, you know, she comes in with this, you know, this headband and... You know, and the other chick comes in.
Hey, wait a minute. About the sticks, I know that Star Trek tries to, you know, have them do different things. Like, humans would usually clap, but these people use sticks. What are you thinking? So these people, right, they have hands.
Right.
And in their entire development, they first invented clicking sticks. Yeah. Like, they didn't discover that when you hit your hands together, it makes a noise. Like, come on.
I know, right?
Jesus.
But what's funny too is that they should have totally come out like they would for heavyweight fight with like theme music and an entourage.
In
like,
this corner,
you have the guy. Let's get ready to rumble. She comes
round out. One.
I know. Fight. You hear Picard, finish him.
Hey, use a Bapality though. Bapality.
Oh man, but yeah, so they come out there.
Now the plan itself is actually kind of ingenious, I think.
The plan is a good plan. It really is. So we find out, you know, because they have to reiterate again that it is a fight to the death, because in case you missed it, you know, before.
They're wearing headbands, too.
Yeah, they're wearing headbands, you know, because it is the 80s at this point.
This is the worst fight I've ever seen, right? On television, by the way.
Yeah, so they get down there, and they both have the gloves. Now, there's some electrified poles in there, so they got to be careful with that. What's hilarious, though, is that early on in the fight, because you have to see how deadly these gloves are, Irina's glove hits this pole, and it flies off her hand and hits some dude in the chest.
Some random dude
who's just like, yo, man, I'm going to go check out that fight because, you know, that shit kind of looks dope. And, you know,
hey, yo, give me some popcorn from the stand if you're getting up.
Exactly. I'll hold our seats here, you know. And then he hands the thing back. This is what cracks me up when I see this in, like, TV shows and movies. The guy hands the glove back, looks down, suddenly sees the blood on his chest, and then dies.
Yeah, yeah. He wasn't affected by the poison.
By the way,
there's poison on the gloves.
Yeah.
He wasn't affected until he saw it. It's a special kind of alien poison that doesn't work until you see the wound.
Yeah, until the ocular nerve fixates on the wound, and then suddenly, oh shit, and then you die.
Science.
So I thought that was hilarious. I was like, oh my God, I've seen that so much. So nobody cares.
That's a TV trope.
Exactly. And nobody cares that this dude died, right?
They just carried him off.
Like, they didn't show the next scene where his buddies come up like, oh shit, dude, somebody get some Kleenex for his wound. We don't want that shit get infected. He's dead. No, he's just sleeping.
Clean yourself off. You're bleeding.
He'll get it on the floor. Get it clean. So the fight resumes, and eventually, and it couldn't have come quick enough, in my opinion. It was probably like less than a minute of screen time, but it was too long.
Oh, shit. I forgot to mention, before the fight, when Yar walks, mind you, walks up to say, you know, Picard says good luck to her, she's already out of breath. She ain't even in the fucking fight yet. And she's like,
she got tired. I got this.
It was like this. She ain't even aerobic.
Oh, yeah. And there's also a ton of grunts in that fight scene.
Yeah, but they're the dumb, like, forcefully, the forcefully girly grunts, which I think are dumb. Like, they, if you close your eyes, they could have been fucking. Like,
right.
Fucking Yar. It would have been
a whole lot more interesting.
They swing at Yar, and she's all,
yeah.
Like, that's not how people grunt when they fight, woman or man.
And of course, you know, there's the bad stunt doubles, because you can see, like, if you look really closely, you can see some other people playing those, because it's such heavy action,
right?
That they could.
Well, the one chick, what's her name? The original first one.
Irina?
Yeah, the stunt double was so bad. She kept getting taller and shorter and taller and shorter. I was like,
So eventually Yar stabs Irina, and, you know,
on the ass.
Yeah.
The top of her ass.
Of course, because that's, you know, if you're going racist, you might as well, you know, she tapped the ass, basically.
Well, it was the biggest target.
Oh. And so she goes down, and then Yar jumps on top of her, and they both beam out.
Whispers rape gangs.
Yeah.
She looks directly into the camera. And says,
if you isolate the track, you can hear Yar go, rape gangs. And then they get beamed back to the Enterprise. Lutan is happy with the outcome, so allows the, you know, the whole medical team to, you know, the medical team to beam down and, you know, get, you know, the vaccine and shit like that. And but then Picard orders, you know, the away team to be beamed up, but he says five to beam up. And of course, Lutan and Hargon
both get beamed up as well.
Which is kind of like, I can take you too, bitch.
Exactly. It's like, oh, what? Did that just happen? You know, Geordi was on the bridge like, did you see that happen? His arms up and shit. Like, oh, that just happened, motherfucker.
Why is it gotta be Geordi though? Racist.
Well, because, you know,
he was still shaving, trying to be fucking, doesn't have his visor on, he has no idea.
That's what's, yeah, a blind guy shaving is just kind of a funny little, like, how does he know
how he looks? Well, I like, you'd think, okay, well, he has to take his visor off to shave. I don't have to take my glasses off to shave.
Yeah.
It's not in the way.
Right.
So I don't understand.
How far are you going up? Yeah. I gotta get under my eyes, cause that,
hey,
shit.
Man, I'm just trying to keep this cut looking clean for them bitches.
Oh man. So he beams them all back up, and then they take Lutan and Hargon to the observation lounge. Now, to me, that just, like, you're not taking him to sick bay, cause the bitch was just dead. And Dr. Crusher brought her back to life, and they're...
Yeah, they have to have the meeting just so the wife can sit there in that chair like a boss. Because if you notice, she's in Picard's chair.
Yeah. And, you know, they said that, you know, she died. She really died. And, you know, it's like, since she's technically died, her marriage to Lutan is over, and she has all her wealth and... You know, she still has her wealth, so she selects Hargon to be her first one. So basically, she dips out.
Now he's the fucking top dog.
Exactly. And the reason why she picks him, and I forgot to mention this earlier, is because during the ever entrancing fight scene, he calls out her name, basically rooting for her.
He says to be careful.
Yeah. And
like, he cared, he gave a shit about her. The other dude was just like, can you kill this bitch real quick so I can get that land though?
Yeah, I can get tap that white ass though, you know. So, you know, she selects him. So now now he has all of her land and power and wealth and stuff like that. Yeah. So homeboy
and a hot chick, because that chick was kind of hot.
And then he selects Lutan to be his second.
And then she goes, stand in your rightful place. And this bitch sulkingly goes to stand behind the dude.
Exactly.
I was laughing my ass off.
He cracked me up because he's like, I'm sure you're shocked by this type of, what did he say? Basically this type of civilized behavior.
I would have been laughing if right after that Picard's like, oh no, we knew you were a bitch. And you belonged all the way in the back. So fuck you.
So they go back down to the planet. They get their shit and everything works out. And then Picard and the crew come back to the bridge, and basically Wesley's still at ops. And they forgot Wesley, much like the producers
of the
show.
Let's be honest, okay? Wesley being an ops is weird, but what has the ship really done?
Exactly.
This entire episode, all he has to do is be in orbit, and if he can't figure that out,
right?
You know,
so
it's autopilot shit.
Exactly. So now that they have the vaccine, the Enterprise heads off to Styrus 4 to save that planet from dying of a flu. So, that was a painful episode to go through.
You know, that the good thing about that episode is that there are none as bad as it. So we can't go anywhere but up, really. And actually, the next episode, which is The Last Outpost.
That's actually, yeah.
Is one of my favorite episodes.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to do that one, because that's the one that it's the first time you see the Ferengi.
Right.
And this was when they originally thought the Ferengi were going to – they originally planned the Ferengi to replace the Klingons as the main aggressor. And that obviously didn't work out.
Right.
Also, one of the Ferengi is actually the same actor who plays Quark from DS9.
Yeah.
So
which you see a lot in Star Trek.
Yeah, and there's a lot going on. And then the guardian or whatever that they talk to. I like the little back and forth with him and Riker. It's a good episode. It's definitely.
It's when they kind of get. Yeah, it gets kind of gets a little too, you know, their core.
This is the first good episode of Star Trek. Yeah. Episode 5, season 1. It's the first. It's not the. It doesn't mean that all the ones after that are great, but this is the first one that they really did a good job.
Yeah.
I do think the way the Ferengi are portrayed in this is so fucking weird, though. They're like little gremlins.
Yeah.
And they, I know, you know, right? They actually, you know, because you have in here, they walk around like little animals.
Yeah, they growl and then.
By DS9, they're not doing that. Even TNG, when you saw some of they were just walking around like normal people.
Yeah,
they explain that in canon, why their walk changed.
Mm.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
It was a business thing. So basically, when they met humans, they noticed that once they noticed they could start doing deals with them, they started to walk like us and be more friendly. And joke around more to kind of mimic. It's a really cheap canon explanation.
Right.
But it was in one of the books. But I just thought it was funny. The Ferengi are fucking... The Ferengi are the greatest alien race in Star Trek because they are humans.
Yeah. They really are, yeah.
Yeah, all they care about is money. They're like everything that sucks about humanity, basically. Except for war. They never do that.
Yeah.
Because that's bad business.
Because there's no...
Yeah. They're always neutral.
Exactly.
To everyone. they'll sell
to everyone, yeah.
They'll sell a weapon to the good guys and then go right to the bad guys and sell the same fucking weapon. They don't give a shit. Which is great.
Right.
But, I'm looking forward to doing that episode. Federation-owned T9 energy converter. That's what the Ferengi vessel stole. Who knows what the fuck a T9 energy converter is, but
we actually, will wait the next episode.
There's a link. I want to see if it actually says what it is. A T9 energy converter was a sensitive piece of equipment used on some remote Federation outpost. That's all it says. Oh, whatever. Thanks for tuning in. You've ditched the ads and would like to stay independent. We can only do that with your support. If you would like to donate to make this podcast and all the shows on the Lazy Geeks Network self-sustaining, you can go to thelazygeeks.com and click on the donate button.
And if you can't help us out monetarily, we get it. But you can also share this show with your buddies and rate the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you can. This will give us bigger exposure. All of this helps. Trust me. Just let it happen.
Stop. You can check out our flagship podcast, The Lazy Geeks, where we discuss being a geek in an adulting world, available where you found this one.
And if you want to be a part of the show, hit us up on the comments, questions, or if you have ideas for future episodes, you can go ahead and catch us up on the social media, you know, the Facebook, the Twitter, and the Instagram, all under at The Lazy Geeks, or email us, themailbag@thelazygeeks.com. So that is it for us this week. So until next time, I'm Stephen Vargas.
I'm Adam Riley.
Two to beam up.